the result of a decision. He said, and I will rejoice.
All right.
And be glad.
And be glad.
Yeah.
He meant that it was a time I didn't have to choose to go that route. But I thank God that I chose to rejoice and be glad in it. I want to thank those that were here last Sunday. Thank God for covering and keeping us while we were out of town. Thank you all for carrying on while we were absent physically, but spiritually we were still here. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm basking in the glory that God can, of what God can do. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Numbers, Numbers 33. Numbers 33. We're going to read six verses, verse 50 through 56. Numbers 33, verses 50 through 56. Numbers 30, 50 through 56. And it reads like this: on the plains of Moab, by the Jordan, across from Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all of their carven images and cast their idols and demolish all of their high places and take possession of the land and settle in it. And for I have given you the land to possess. Somebody gonna catch that in a minute. Distribute the land by lot according to your clans. To a larger group, give a larger inheritance. To a smaller group, a smaller one. Whatever falls to them by lot will be theirs. Distribute according to the ancestral tribe. Do, watch this. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, those you allow to remain will become barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will give you, somebody need to hear this, they will give you the trouble, watch this, give you trouble in the land where you live. And then I will do to you what I plan to do to them. I want to talk about possess the land.
All right.
Possess.
Possess the land.
The land. There's a misnomer that has crept into society's mindset that it flips towards between the most selfish of generations, that everything is about us. That if it's not for me, I don't want to know about it. It's mine. Most of us live somewhere between it's my party and I cry if I want to. And I ain't never scared. We go from everything having to be all about you. It's me and my foe.
All right.
It's my crew. And what I realized, Jesse, is the only time that this selfish, self-centered, self-involved mindset does not rule is at the time of correction.
Wow.
The only time that we don't act like that it's all about us is when somebody's in trouble. But I realized that when it was time to have correction, they went from it's all about me to no, they talking to you. And what I've deduced, what I've put together, what I've added up, First Lady, is that sometimes in church is that we come together, we come into the room, we sit down, we praise God, we wave our hands, we open our mouth. But when the word of God comes forth, somewhere between touch your neighbor and elbow your neighbor, you thought he was talking to your neighbor.
All right, all right.
Some of us struggle because we do not understand in the complexities of time and of life that what we have here in the time of a spoken word of God, a rhema word, a word of message, a word of hope, and a word of encouragement is that in every situation, if you're in the room, He's talking to you. Uh-huh. See, I need two or three people that came to this place that understand that I didn't just come to hear a word. I came because He had a word for me. I'm sick and tired of going to services where everybody else is getting blessings handed out. I came because I needed a word. I know, preacher, you're talking about possess the land. Why would you open up a sermon about possess the land like this? Because I need you to understand. I ain't talking to your neighbor. I'm talking to you. That if you felt like God, I don't understand why you think that God would be so minute that He would worry about what happens and what you've involved yourself with in your bedroom, but think that He won't let you have a word from God from the pulpit. Y'all not coming to hear me today. You think that what you do in your private area, at your house, in your room, is going to stop you from getting to heaven, but you think that God won't let you have a word on display that when the man of God stands before the people of God could be talking to you.
All right.
We have a problem because some of us won't get the message because you thought it was for somebody else. There's a story of a news anchor that was sitting down with Bill Gates, and she was asking Bill Gates. She said, Bill, what is it that helped you get to the place that you are today? Bill Gates pulled out his checkbook laughing the whole time. He said, you don't understand. He handed her the check. She said, what are you doing? He said, it's a blank check. Fill it out for whatever you want. She said, what are you doing, Mr. Gates? And handed him the check back. And she pushed it back to him. He said, no, I'm trying to show you something. And she was on national TV, y'all. And she pushed the check back to him. And he said, see, that's where the problem is. I've never missed a chance.
Yes.
To get what I wanted. Y'all missed it. But see, somebody is sitting there with an opportunity in your lap and you think that it's a test.
Yeah.
So you handed it back to God and He said, no, I gave it. Yeah. I gave it to you. See, some of us struggle because you come to this place and understanding that God, I need a word. Mm-hmm. And God says today, October the 3rd, 2021, you got to possess the land.
Yeah.
You got to get to the place where you hear a word and say, God is tired of you moving. He wants you to possess it.
Right.
Y'all, it's amazing to me because if you read Numbers 33, verses 1 through 50, verses 1 through 49, it keeps talking about where they went to move. My pastor preached at the end of July. He preached about, and at the end of June, he preached about clouds move. I mean, he preached about follow the cloud. And he talked about when the cloud rises, you move. Yeah. And y'all, what they did in Numbers 33 is they started to record every time the cloud moved. He preached preparing for the cloud to lift. In Numbers 33, they literally talk about every time the cloud lifted, where they moved from one space to another space. And as they kept on moving, they started recording what was going on. But y'all, they went from being nomads.
All right.
Because God never called you to a wilderness.
All right.
Y'all not trying to hear me today. Y'all missed me, some of y'all, because you say what John the Baptist was called to the wilderness. He was a man in the wilderness. He was a wild man. He was out there eating wild locusts and honey, and he would baptize in the middle of nowhere. But guess what? Even this wild, crazy man knew, the king knew his name.
All right.
No, because one night the king got drunk, and his stepdaughter started dancing in the front of him, and he promised her up to half of the kingdom. And she said, just give me John the Baptist's head. Mm-hmm. Y'all, she didn't have to draw a picture. She didn't have to lay it out. He knew who he was. See, some of y'all think that just because you hadn't been brought before great men that your name hadn't been. Y'all don't want to hear me today. Because God never called you to be a wandering people. He called you out of. Y'all, guess what? He says that I'm going to make you a great nation before you even got multiple people.
All right.
How do you possess the land in your own personal areas? Three things. I'm out of here. I can't be before you long. Three things you got to do to possess the land. The first thing you have to do is stay close enough to get a word.
Close enough.
Verse 52 says, and the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross into Canaan, in the Jordan, into Canaan, drive out the inhabitants. Wait, watch this. Verse 50, the Lord said to Moses, what was Moses? Close enough to hear the word.
All right.
Y'all thought I had something deep. I didn't come with very deep, so you can't follow this at the house. Some of us struggle because you ain't been close enough to hear.
Yes.
You've been too busy to hear. You've been called to do other stuff, so you can't hear. I want to possess the land. I want to inherit the promise that God has given to me. But you have not heard.
Come on.
All right. Preach today.
The problem is that some of us get the beginning of the instructions, get excited, start shouting, Carol. And the problem with starting to shout too soon is that you fool around and you missed all of the instructions.
Yes.
Stay close to get a word. Mm-hmm. Peter teaches us this, the dangers of socially distancing from a word. And when Jesus went to be crucified, the people looked at Peter, and because Peter had been rocking with him for so long, he was being associated with him. He was guilty by association time. And when they got all the way to the cross, they was marching Jesus from judgment hall to judgment hall. Somebody turned around and said, well, y'all know he'd be with them.
Yeah.
Bible says to Peter, I don't know him.
Uh-huh.
I don't know this man. Somebody help this man. I don't know him. Because the Bible says that he was following Jesus afar off.
Yeah.
The danger of being far away.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get a word.
Ah.
Watch this, y'all. Because Peter does not record. Well, John recalled.
Yeah.
Because Peter fell back.
Yeah.
Peter doesn't say what he said.
Yeah.
On the cross. Peter didn't get the last will and testament. Jesus. He didn't get the last words that were spoken of intent. Peter didn't get that.
Yeah. He didn't get it.
Peter might have felt like Jesus was mad at him.
Yeah.
Because he was close enough, watch this, y'all, to see it. But too far back, so he didn't hear him say, Father, forgive them.
Come on now. All right.
For they know not
what they're doing.
What they
all
doing.
Right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, some of us stay close enough
mm-hmm.
to get the light.
All right.
But far enough away that you don't feel the heat.
All right now.
And on the plain. Of Moab. You got ready to cross the Jordan.
Watch yourself.
From Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, see, I want you to understand that this Moses was not a perfect man. Murderer. He woke up one morning and seen an Egyptian beating a child of Israel, and he got mad and killed the Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
And they started talking about it.
Yeah.
And he left town.
Yeah.
And he did not come back to the experienced a move of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the Bible says that he was out in the wilderness. And I want you to understand that if Moses wasn't planning on going back to Egypt, how did you know? Because he had set up a family.
Yeah. Preacher
now. He moved. Todd, he didn't vacation.
Yeah.
He was gone.
Yeah.
He wasn't. No, they wasn't on his mind. He hadn't thought about them people over there. Mm-hmm. And if he did, it wasn't enough for him to change what he was going through.
All right.
Until one day he was minding his own business.
Yeah.
And he seen something that was normal sprinkled in with a little abnormal.
Alright.
He seen a bush on fire.
Yeah.
But the fire wasn't on the bush.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of hearing crinkling, he heard a voice.
All right.
The Lord said to Moses.
Okay.
See, the problem is that some of us don't stay close enough to hear the voice, Jesse, because you don't understand that the same voice that talked to him in the wilderness is the same voice that talked to him in Moab.
All right.
Some of us have gotten to the Moabs of our lives, and you ain't even figured out what the voice of God sounded. And some of us can't operate off the word we heard because you sitting here trying to figure out who's at it. The same voice that talked to you through a burning bush.
Yeah.
Just told you to go and possess something that ain't yours yet.
Mm.
First thing you gotta do is stay close enough to get a word.
Mm.
Second thing you have to do is act on what you heard.
Yeah.
Act on what you
heard.
That's good.
Some of us struggle because we have the trying to clean it up.
Go ahead.
The weakness of desiring to understand every move of God before you move your feet.
Wow.
Some of us say, God, I'm with you. What you mean? Run the people out. What people? Some of us have asked God, how? You mean go fight? Why do we go in with brooms? Is the land dirty? Verse 51, speak to the Israelites, say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you destroy all of their cave. How you know what's over there, God? See, some of us struggle because we're trying to figure out how God got his intel. Instead of using it for confirmation when you start walking.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like God is in his place. Some of us struggle because God can answer some questions before you ask him. So what are we supposed to do with this? Destroy it. But we can use it. It ain't the same. That ain't what we do.
Yeah, right.
Y'all don't want to hear me.
All right.
Okay. I got Bible for it. That David was getting the ark from Obed Eden's house from battle,
yeah.
And he had decided that he was gonna put some technology into what God said do.
All right.
So instead of having four men pack the ark like they were designed to do, because it had poles on both sides that they were supposed to grab the ark, David says, put it on the cart.
Mm-hmm.
Save the energy.
All right.
Let some oxen carry it. And the ark started shaking.
All right.
Because anytime you pick God in a situation that he ain't supposed to be in, he never gets comfortable.
All right.
I need to help two or three people today. You might be comfortable with carrying him that way, but he's going to always get rocked. If you got him in a place that he ain't supposed to be in. And somebody decided, I'm going to help God stay still.
Yeah.
Reached out, touched the ark, fell dead. David got mad.
Yeah.
Set it up at Obed-Eden's house. Hide it, put it in his barn. We going to come home. Because see, when you get mad at God, most of us leave him where you got mad with him at.
Yeah, leave him there.
Because
If that was God, then he wouldn't have done like that.
Yeah.
If this was really God's ark, why did you kill him? And David one day asked, what's happening down there at Obed-Edom's house? And they said, everything is looking good for him.
Yeah.
Because ever since you left that thing down there,
come on.
All of his fields is green.
Yeah.
That boy doing good.
Yeah.
David went down, left the cart at the house. And the Bible says, that's where we get our infamous text from, is that he was marching back, and every six paces they sacrificed a cow. And he danced before the Lord, and he danced out of all. Y'all missed the first part of the story.
Yeah.
The only reason he was shouting is because he fooled around and got mad at God in the beginning.
Yeah.
Some of us can't act on what we believe because you ain't stayed with it long enough. So when people trying to figure out why you so loud, why you keep waving your hand, why you keep shouting, baby, you don't know I had left him over there for 3 months. I've been. Drive them people out. They carving images. They're idol gods. They look cute, but they're gonna distract you.
Yeah.
Watch this, y'all. He tells them what to do before they get there.
Yeah.
And when you see the stuff, go on and destroy it.
Destroy.
Don't intermingle your stuff with their stuff. Don't. Don't think it's gonna be. Preacher, why would you preach this on a Sunday morning? Well, because we're in the middle of a Possess the Land campaign. And you thought it was just about money.
All right.
But if your actions don't line up with your money, you're going to get in the land and have some problems.
All right.
Because you can possess the land. And if you leave the wrong stuff in here, you're going to carry some stuff from your wilderness minds. Okay. Let me explain what this sermon is tailored to teach you. Let me teach it to you in the middle so I can get out of here. Is that some of us struggle, not because the new place is ragged, is that you brought the couch that had the roaches in it from the old place. And because you didn't fumigate the last spot, because you didn't clean up your stuff. And the problem was not the people on your last job, is that you didn't clean up your behaviors from the last job. Everybody at the last job wasn't messy, but all the messy people found you.
Come on now, preach it.
You have to learn to act on what you've heard. If God said it, that ought to settle it.
Yes.
See, most of us have fought for agreement, but God has only asked for submission.
That's all he asked for.
Okay, I'm going to give you this one. I'm going to my last one. Is that in 2 Kings 4, 1 through 8, there's a woman, a broke woman. I know she's broke because she told the prophet that the collectors is coming for my children. I ran out of money. They coming for my peoples.
Right.
And when they get here, they're going to take my children. I'm going to have to die. And the Bible says that the man of God told her to go borrow some vessels and fill them up and put them, lock the room. Don't let nobody without faith and don't need what you need come in the room. See, y'all don't understand why I always have church meetings that is only for church. Because if you ain't in the room, you don't need what we need.
All right.
See, everybody can hear your problem, man, but they can't help you with your problem. See, every now and then you ought to have a house meeting that's just for the folks in your house to understand what's happening in this house. Now, I understand you want to go outside and play, but I need you to sit down for a minute and understand that if I'm going to do my job and go to work and pay these bills, you got to come in here with some good grades and have all.
Preach that.
You know, people always want to point at the pastor when problems in the church arise. I got a clear conscience here because I did my part.
Yeah.
Pastor, you did preach. I did. You did lead off the giving. I did. Well, it didn't happen. It wasn't. I did what God told me to. She closed the room.
All
right. Watch this, y'all. This is what blessed me. The only limit to her blessing was how much she took in the room. The Bible says this. I'm in 2 Kings 4, verse 1 through 8. The Bible says the oil did not run out, Jesse, until she ran out of jars. Pastor, why you bring us here and then talking about raising $60,000 in 90 days? We ain't got 60 members all the way. What are you talking about? Because I brought you in the room because I got the faith. My question is, did you bring the jars? I promise you, I'll pour it until we run out. How do you know what's going on? Because I'm telling you what he told me. He told me, same thing he told Joshua, everywhere your foot thread, I'll give you. How do you know? Because we went to a hotel and said we was going to be there a year. It was in our rule book we was going to be there a year. And in 6 months, they was calling us to move. I can't hear nobody in here. And they were asking us to sign a note at a storefront building for more a month than we had taken in a month. And God said, go. I said, I don't know, but I'm a sign, because they were asking y'all for 2 months in advance. And y'all know what God did? Told me to close the door and call the church meeting. And I said, this is what they say. This is what we need to do. Because I had to. Now, watch this, y'all. I stayed close enough to hear the word. But I wasn't going to keep it to myself. So I showed up. And acted on what I heard. And in the meeting, they said, well, Pastor, what we need to do. I went and wrote them people a check. And it cleared. Not because the bank approved it, but because y'all made sure. Y'all don't want to hear me. That what we needed to do was there. Because guess what? Sometimes we only get what you give. What that mean? If you didn't bring a jar, don't be mad you don't leave with no oil. Okay, I'm out of here. Marty, I turned the corner. You have to stay close to enough to get a word. You have to act on what you heard. Third and final thing, and I'm out of here. I'm out of time. You have to commit to the mission. Some of us struggle because you do not want to commit to the mission. You're willing to act on what you heard, and when the day is over, you're tired. But commitment says, wake up in the morning, what I didn't do yesterday, I got to do today. Commitment is to stick with it. It's going to be what you gonna do. It's gonna be where you are. It's gonna be how you like it. It's gonna be what he's designed for you. But commitment is hard in today's time. Is everybody committed to not being committed?
That's right.
And don't want to be committed to nothing. Relationships, to mindsets, to jobs. Jesus says, God says to Moses, three things. I'm out of here. Settle in it. Get comfortable. See, when I go to hotels, most of the time, I live out of my suitcase. And they have the dressers there, but I feel like I ain't going to be there long enough to unpack all of this stuff and then to pack all of the stuff back. But when you settle in it, you occupy it. And watch this. And when you settle in it, you got to get rid of the past occupant stuff. I wanted to say it's like what God is telling them is that when you get into the land,
Jesus,
don't put up no pictures of your exes.
All right, make it plain.
Cousin. Over the fireplace, because you'll fool around and start thinking that's where you wanted to be. Destroy all of that before you get comfortable.
Preaching now.
Put me up there.
Come on now, Rev.
So every time you walk past it, you look at me and say, look what the Lord has done. He says, settle in it. The second thing he tells them to do is distribute the land.
to the larger groups, give the larger plots of land, to the smaller groups, give the smaller plots of land. Some of us struggle with that. It's because you felt like you didn't get what everybody else got. Mm. But see, what Spider-Man taught me is where more power comes, more responsibility. And some of us struggle because you don't understand that you wanted more, but you didn't want the responsibility of more. That's why, watch this, y'all. What are you trying to say? This text actually debunks that God is an equal God. I want what they want, what they got. God never said that.
Yeah.
You got mad because you didn't get the anointing that they got, but you weren't blessed like them. And watch this. And some of us keep asking God for equality when he only promised us just.
Wow.
He's a fair God.
Yeah.
Just my $100 might not be your $100. Uh-huh. That's why I don't ask everybody for the same thing.
Yeah.
And, well, Pastor, you ask us all to vow to pledge $1,000 of family for the possessed land. Watch this. That's what I asked you to do.
Yeah.
If you can't do it, I ain't got to worry about you not doing it.
Right.
Why? Because you ain't going to be able to.
Yeah.
I did that for two or three people that say, Pastor, I can do $1,000. We might be able to do $1,000 apiece if we really put our minds to it. And watch this. And I asked you to do it because you said you couldn't do it. And I put a faith option on you that you ain't even understand. And when I start distributing the land, you're going to understand that some people can't handle what everybody else does. Y'all don't want to. Everybody want a luxury car. But when it come time for that oil change, you all of a sudden want to get back down to the spot where you go to Jiffy Lube and they let you sit in the car. Everybody want to be riding high, but don't nobody want to pay for service, eh?
Come on now.
Distribute the land. I can put gas in, I can pay that note, but can you pay the note and maintenance? Because every now and then you not going to be able to pick which month you're going to be able to do.
Come on now.
True.
That is
essential. It tells us to settle down. It tells us to distribute the land. But the third thing it does is you have to heed the warning signs. Sister Smith, when you get into a committed relationship, what I've learned listening to some of the ladies talk is that the problem is that when you finally say you want to be committed, it comes with requirements.
Yeah.
No, if we was just playing, we just playing.
Yeah.
But when you said that we go together,
yeah,
have we go?
It's some stuff you can't do no more.
Right. Yeah.
The Bible said. But if you do not drive them out. Watch this. I love how he broke it up. And allow them to remain, they will be barbs in your eyes. Thorns in your side. Mm-hmm. Well, you're thinking you're going to intermingle with them because they're not bad people. Mm-hmm. And they don't believe what you believe. Mm-hmm. Don't operate how you operate. They thought brunch was Sunday. They thought the Possess the Land campaign was a money grab for what I don't know. Church just want to steal your money. We ain't gave enough for us. We still paying notes. I can't hear nobody.
Come on, Lord. Teach.
You have to heed the warning signs. Because you intermingle with people and think that because you see something in them that you can change them, but God didn't tell you to help everybody. Some people, y'all don't want to hear me, that the disciple, the people came and said to Jesus that we brought our sick to them and they couldn't heal them. Because some people you ain't equipped to help. You better get them folks to Jesus. Y'all don't want to hear me. You trying to sleep with the devil and think that y'all gonna work out together. You better take it to the Lord and pray. Barbs in your eyes and thorns in your side. I didn't make it up. It's right here in the text. They will give you trouble in the land where you will live. Right there where you at. They ain't gonna go outside and bother you from the outside. Worst thing you can do is be fighting in your own house.
That's so true. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's it. Me and my wife talked before. I said, it's going to be a sanctuary here. Mm-hmm. I don't mind us fighting folks out there. But we can't be fighting.
All right.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
He don't tell her nothing, not in front of you. You'll never know where a crack is.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right about it.
She leave me, y'all gonna be surprised. Well, they was arguing at church. Know what?
Yeah.
Don't believe that lie.
Come on.
I'm sorry. Okay.
So what I'm talking about. Teach today, Pastor.
Verse 56 is the last thing that I'm gonna talk about before commitment. When I'm talking about being committed to the mission.
Yeah.
Verse 56, he says this. And then I will do to you what I plan to do to them. Mm-hmm. So most people would run past that because that's not what you shout about.
Exactly. Yeah.
But y'all, we seen what he was planning on doing to them.
Yeah.
We just read about it.
Yeah.
We just heard everything he was gonna do.
Yeah.
To them, cause he gonna let you do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, they gonna do to you.
Yeah.
What you should have been doing.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. Reverend, what you trying to say? I keep hearing in the spirit. Ain't nobody called me. I keep hearing in the spirit. Some champions don't believe we can do it.
My God.
In the spirit. Nobody told me that. Not because they're scared, they just ain't told me. I don't know why. I've always been the listening ear. But nobody told me, Sheikah, that they didn't think we could do it. But when I say heed the warning signs, I'm literally telling you, we ain't got no choice but to do it.
Yeah.
I was out to eat last week with a pastor in Detroit, me and my wife, and he was telling us about the power of faith. And when he was talking to us, he was comparing himself and another preacher that was a faith full of the Holy Ghost preacher. And he was telling us about how he said he needed to set a certain budget for the year, and the other guy had set a budget for the year. And when they had the conversation, he said, man, I need to make this much this year to do what I need to do. And the other guy that was a faith preacher said, I'm going to do it. And after the year was over, they seen each other again. Did you do it? He said, no, I didn't make it. The faith preacher said, I did over. Mm. But I asked him. He said, well, what's the difference between what you did and what I did? I ain't making this up. She was sitting at the table. He said, I never doubted that I could do it. So I'm trying to help two or three people. Why would you preach this on a Sunday morning? Why would you explain this to us? Why would you take time out of Sunday morning? We could have been shouting about you being back in town. But I came to tell you that failure is not an option for me.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Because I was never looking at y'all to do it.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Y'all the tools.
Uh-huh.
He going to use to help us do what he told me.
Yes. Right.
Y'all didn't tell me about this, but if y'all knew it was here, ain't nobody told me.
Mm. Right.
How do you know we got to do it? Because we ain't got no choice but to do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared that he gonna do. Can I break this down to you?
Break,
can I break it down
break
to
it
you?
Down.
Off of yes. a spiritual level into natural level, because right. he says I'm gonna do to you what I was gonna do to them. That the people that had this building before us, they ain't no church number. They don't gather together. In a new location, they outgrew this one, so they went somewhere else. So how you know that God can be a man of his word? He already showed us what he'll do to the ones that came before us. What's your fear of us not completing the task? Because some of us ain't talked to God and heard his voice, but some of us ain't heard the devil say what happened if you don't do it. The devil don't mind. He don't mind bragging, Jesse. He'll tell you. $6,000 ain't that much. How you know? Because all of us in here, if we really wanted to, we could do it.
Yep.
Ain't got enough. Slow down on some other stuff. That you said you was going to slow down on anyway.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Go ask them two or three friends that you always help and pay their bills.
Hold on. My.
I need $100 for our church campaign. Yep. I ain't got $100. Well, this is how we're going to get it, because you got to give me something back. And you ain't going to give it to me. You might as well give it to the church.
Mm.
I'm through. The Bible says this.